This evening on Face Your Future, the president of the Washington Council of the Blind, Cindy Van Winkle. She's here along with her two colleagues, Mika White, the second vice president of the SIM organization, and also from Snohomish County, Danette Dixon, the Everett chapter president. They are here to talk to me about the type of work that the organization is doing in the state of Washington, also in Snohomish County, on behalf of the blind community.
Well, I think last year we gave 6 mm-hmm. scholarships away.
They are also here to talk to me about their upcoming convention in Tacoma this year. Well, they would like to invite the whole community to participate in order to see the type of work that they have been doing for the past few years in the state of Washington.
Our annual convention is at the Hotel Murano.
All this will be next on your only independent public radio, 90.7 FM, KSER Everett, and 89.9 FM, KXIR Freeland, and on the World Wide Web at KSER.org. This is Face Your Future, the 41st edition. I am Wilson Trout. Greetings, I am Wilson Charles, and welcome to this new edition of Face Your Future, right here on your independent public radio, 90.7 FM, KSER Everett, and on 89.9 FM, KXIR Freeland. Today, I have a few special guests in the house from Washington Council of the Blind, Cindy Van Winkle, the president of this organization, and also the second vice president, Mika White, and also Danette Dixon. Ladies, welcome to Face Your Future, and it's a pleasure to have you, Cindy.
Thank you. Thank Mika. You very much.
Thank you very much.
And Danette.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so you represent the WCB, Washington Council of the Blind. President, why don't you go ahead and talk to me a little bit about this organization. What is your mission in the state of Washington?
Okay. Opportunity, equality, and independence are the three words that drive our organization. We are a consumer organization, and we have over 450 members throughout the state of Washington. And that is in 15 chapters. 14 of them are geographically located, and one of them is a special interest affiliate, Guide Dog Users of Washington State. Mm-hmm. We also have several of our members that are at-large members, and we even have some members that live out of state. We have a couple members in Canada. The main purpose of our organization, as I said, we're a consumer organization, so the main purpose is that we are blind people, and we are working towards the betterment of the lives of blind people in our communities. That's us in a nutshell. It encompasses lots of activities to keep us going and moving, and we have a lot of people doing a lot of work, and we have no paid staff.
My research indicates that WCB is part of a larger organization in the United States. Now, talk to me about how does this organization work with similar organizations in the country, especially other blind organizations? And this question will go to Ms. White.
Okay. So we are affiliated with the American Council of the Blind, and that's made up of many different state affiliates. I believe that almost every state has an affiliate, and then various special interest groups. So we are affiliated with them, and there is it goes from local chapter to state to the state being a part of the national organization. And the national organization has been around since, I believe, the 60s.
Mm-hmm. 1961.
Yeah, 1961. And we tend to come together to do the business of that organization in the summer during the annual American Council of the Blind National Convention.
Ms. Dixon, talk to me about the different activities that you guys have, like especially in a chapter, like from a city or maybe a county level, compared to the state.
Well, I am president of a local Everett chapter for Washington Council of the Blind, and we just did a fundraiser, which is an outreach for at Outback Restaurant. It was a lot of work, a lot of like making the tickets and a lot of ordering the tickets and money involved. But everybody had a great time, and we'll probably do it again. And everybody wanted to bring their family back to Outback Restaurant.
So in other words, the men activities that you have, like in the chapter level, is about fundraising.
That's one of them. Well, the main one would be our monthly meetings at Denny's Restaurant on 128th, just a place where people can share how they're dealing with the blindness and get updates about Washington Council of the Blind.
Mrs. Van Winkle, hearing you describe the mission of WCB, it seems like one of the key elements of that mission is to promote independence among blind people. And as you know, one of the key factors for an individual to become more independent is to receive a good education. Now, tell me, how close does your organization work with schools or high schools in the state of Washington, even work with colleges and universities to make sure that blind students are able to receive a good and equal education compared to those who are not visually impaired?
So what I'll tell you first is that there's a board of trustees that oversees the School for the Blind, the Washington State School for the Blind. Most of those are appointed by the governor, the members of that committee. But the consumer organizations have a representative as ex officio member. So we do have one representative as an ex officio member on that board of trustees. And they keep us up to speed on what's going on in the school and any concerns so that we can provide feedback. Mm-hmm. And they represent us at those meetings. But we also have a committee. Remember, I told you that a lot of our work is done through committees. So we have a Families with Blind Children committee, and Mika is actually the chair of that committee. So I'll let her tell you a little bit about a couple of the things that they've been working on, especially the Braille Challenge.
Okay, so Ms. White?
We have attended the School for the Blind doing various activities that they have, and so we support them, tell the students about the organization, have door prizes for them, and just give them an opportunity to get to know us. And then there is, in fact, the Braille Challenge, which we had our first Braille Challenge last year. And that is, I like to refer to it as the Olympics of Braille, because it's very, very competitive. And the students they're competing in different aspects, like with reading and writing Braille and maps and graphs and just all sorts of things. So it was very, very successful last year. Mm-hmm. And we partnered with the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library. And I think that's such a wonderful thing, because the Washington Council of the Blind does have an opportunity to partner with other wonderful agencies. And the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library really were just fantastic with assisting us with the Braille Challenge. And this year we want to make that bigger and better. And that's for students from kindergarten to 12th grade.
Ms. Dixon, how do you recruit people to become members of your chapter?
Well, I have just had my friend print out some cards, and then I brailled my name and GEACB, our chapter, and our phone number on the card. Each probably month I get a phone call from somebody wanting to join a chapter because they've looked on the website or called the number. Like even yesterday I got another call from Bothell that wants to come join us this next week.
Mm-hmm. Ms. White, you not only chair a committee, but you are also the second vice president of WCB. Now, talk to me about how do you work with the rest of the executive board to make sure that the mission of this organization is in fact fulfilled, not only for this generation, but also for the next generation.
Well, we're constantly looking for ways to involve youth and to involve everyone that wants to be a part of the Washington Council of the Blind or people who are newly blinded. I, as second vice president, I feel like
she does everything.
It feels like there's two categories, right? Like I'm the chair of the Families with Blind Children committee, and then I just help wherever I'm needed. I try to be a support to the president and basically anything that she needs assistance with, whether it's with email stuff or sending things out or just anything that she needs.
She's being very modest. modest because we have five people that answer our phone, one each day. And so it's five different people. Mika has been one of our backup people, very supportive of the receptionists, worked over a year filling in for somebody that was sick. Mm-hmm. And so when I needed somebody to do that, she was there. She makes phone calls for me because I work and, you know, sometimes I get bogged down with stuff. So she makes phone calls. She's the person that when we get to the convention, she's the person that will help people online, over the phone, mm-hmm. Fill out their forms. She really does just about anything I ask her to do, and I'm really grateful to have such a person in her position because it's really made my job easier.
Well, that's why you have your whole, almost, it seems like half of your cabinet is here.
Anyways. Well, there's actually 12 people on the board WCB.
That's a big cabinet.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Van Winkle, how does your organization work with elected officials and Olympia to make sure that the laws are implemented for the benefit of the blind community in the state of Washington? And also, how difficult is it for your organization to work with elected officials in Olympia?
Our legislative chair lives in the Olympia area. And so if we are required to or want to be at a hearing and give testimony, it could be a challenge to get our membership there in person. Denise, though, is able to do that usually if we need her to. Sometimes we can also testify over the phone or give written testimony. Most of what we ask our membership to do when there's a call to action is we get word out through our phone system mm-hmm. and email list, and we ask people to make phone calls and or email their legislators in their area. And if there's a particular committee or person that we're trying to direct information to, we may specifically ask a group of people that live in that area to reach out to their representative or senator. But there's a toll-free number in the state of Washington to call. And, you know, it was on the tip of my head, brain, it's gone right now. But there is a number to call. So you can leave a message for your legislator and they actually write a note for you and deliver it to the legislator, you know, the area that you live in. So we're constantly educating our people. And when there is something that is a cause that we believe really strongly in, we try and educate our members and share with them information, the details that they would want to convey to the right people.
Okay. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to 90.7 FM KSER Everett and 89.9 FM KXIR Freeland. I am Wilson Charles, and you're listening to Face Your Future. As a reminder, you can also find me on the web at kser.org. My guests for this edition of Face Your Future are the president of Washington Council of the Blind, Cindy Van Winkle, and the second vice president, Mika White, and Everett chapter president, Danette Dixon. Stay tuned. Don't go away. When I come back, my conversation will continue with these three.
Sogno all'orizzonte e mancano le parole. Sì, lo so che non c'è luce in una stanza quando manca il sole. Se non ci sei tu con me, con me su. Le finestre mostrare tutto il mio cuore che è acceso. Chiudi dentro me la luce che hai incontrato per strada.
Welcome back on your independent public radio, 90.7 FM KSER Everett and 89.9 FM KXIR Freeland. I am Wilson Charles, the host of Face Your Future. My guests for this edition are the president of Washington Council of the Blind, Cindy Van Winkle, and the second vice president, Mika White, and also the Everett chapter president, Danette Dixon. There are some visually impaired people that they believe there is still an inequality in the United States when it comes to work, education, and so forth, when it comes to how they treat blind people. What type of measure or what steps the organization is taking to kind of narrow that down for the next generation? And how do you help educate the public about somebody who's blind, the person have like a physical handicap, but the person is still capable intellectually. Go ahead, Cindy.
Okay. A couple of things that we do. Our membership committee does a lot of outreach. So, you know, if we're going to reach out to people, we have to be out there. So one of the things we do is we, for several years now, I think this will be our sixth year, we've had a booth in the education building at the Puyallup Fair. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what we do, is educate. We have lots of brochures and materials available. And this year, we are actually going to put together a digital picture frame with photos to show blind people doing a variety of things in the workplace and socially and in their meetings and such. We also have some forum calls. These are outreach to our members, but anyone is welcome to be on them. And so when you mentioned about employment, I instantly thought about our employment forum. And it takes place on the first Tuesday of every month. And it doesn't cost anybody anything except for the phone call. And actually, that's even free too. And we've had all kinds of topics. This year, we're changing the format a little, and we will have somebody who is blind, successfully employed, talking about their experience and journey to employment, and hopefully encouraging other people. Because I think one of the biggest challenges that we face in employment as people who are blind is that we tend to fall into a rut of where other people don't believe that we can, and so it's hard to believe that we can. And so we want to lift people up and encourage one another. That often is done in the local level in these chapters. Greater Everett Area Council of the Blind is one of 15, as I mentioned. And every chapter looks a little different because it's based on the size and where they're located and, you know, all of that. But they're all meeting. Most of them are meeting once a month. They have outside events, social events, and they might even do some of the outreach events in their own community. And then they do fundraising and so on. Some of them do technology events to try and bring people up to speed on technology. And we know that technology is of vital importance to people that want to go to work, no matter what job you're in. So we also have a technology forum on the phone calls on the second Tuesday of the month. And Mika actually facilitates the technology forum. And then we also have a book forum on the third Tuesday of the month.
There is also like the Vision Expo in Linwood once a year, which is basically like a technology place where different blind organizations will be there. And I encourage others, like I just completed the Department of Services for the Blind, their training a year ago. And I encourage people to go through that.
So talk to me about challenges that the organization faces.
You know, are you talking about money or just in general?
Any type of challenge, because I would assume any nonprofit organization will have some challenge.
Our greatest challenge is probably getting the word out about us. I think that that is our biggest challenge.
Well, that's why you're at KSER.
Yep, that's why we're here. Exactly. That would be our biggest challenge, because we know there's a lot of blind people out there. Some people aren't quite ready to face vision loss. And what I would say to you is it's okay to be blind. And there's a lot of people out there that have been where you are. And hopefully you can find a local chapter in your area and connect with people. That's probably our biggest challenge. But we try to do things to get, you know, out there and for people to know who we are.
Okay, Ms. Dixon, as the chair or as member of the scholarship committee, talk to me about the criteria for somebody to win a scholarship.
They do have to be visually impaired. They do have to be living in the state of Washington, and they do have to be attending college in the fall. And it's like
and you say in the fall, so if somebody's not attending college in the fall, if they're attending in the winter, they can't apply? Is that what you're telling me?
Anytime in the next school year, if they're going to school anytime the next school year, well then yeah, they can apply.
Okay.
So, but I think the application process is done right now.
Okay, so the scholarship, it's something that's occurred every year,
like yes.
Okay.
Well, I think last year we gave six scholarships away.
So this is something that the organization do every year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's get to our next topic, which is your convention this year. Mm-hmm. What do you do during a convention that is out of the ordinary compared to your everyday business?
Okay. So this is my favorite topic right now. Okay. Because I'm real into it. Our annual convention, we say it's held October 30th through November 1st, but people typically stay till the 2nd because the banquet is the night of the 1st. It is at the Hotel Murano, and information about the convention is on our website at www.wcbinfo.org. And also, you can hear information on our phone system at 800-255-1147. And if you press the number 6, you'll hear all of the convention information.
Okay, so you say it's going to be Tacoma this year.
It is. It's in Tacoma. And Thursday night, people will check in who have pre-registered. They'll get their packets. We have a pre-convention board meeting that night, and resolutions and constitution committees meet. On Friday morning, we have our first-timers breakfast, as well as our president's breakfast, and then a general breakfast. And then general sessions will begin at 8:45 in the morning, and they go until 4:30 in the afternoon. This year, on Friday, during our general sessions, Cyrus Habib, who is a representative in the state of Washington out of Bellevue and who happens to be blind, will be giving our keynote speech on Friday morning. We also have a presentation on Braille. Braille is changing. The code is changing. We're going to unified English Braille code. And the code hasn't changed in probably 50 years. And so this is a very big deal. And a lot of changes are happening legislatively because of that, are going to have to happen because of it. And so the changes take effect January 2016. But we have somebody coming to talk about that. Somebody to talk about emergency preparedness. Microsoft, somebody from Microsoft will be coming. Somebody talking about staying safe in our communities as blind people. We have a panel that will be parents who are blind and a grandparent talking about raising children as a blind parent or grandparent. And we also have one adult sighted child who was raised by a blind parent that will be on that panel. And right after lunch on Friday, we have a special guest, and that is author J.A. Jantz, who will be speaking to us on Friday afternoon. And we have an awards luncheon on Friday. And at that luncheon, we have a lady that's going to talk about her experience becoming a Braille transcriptionist while she was incarcerated at Purdy Correctional Facility. On Saturday, our national representative, who is the president of the American Council of the Blind this year, Kim Charlson, she will give our report from the national organization telling us what's going on a national level. And then we have our employment panel that we have every year. So we'll have three people talking about their experience journey getting to their job. And then we have somebody coming to speak from the Lighthouse for the Blind and from Audiobooks Ministries. And then we'll have, we call it the Big Three, which is the three directors of the state agencies serving blind people in our state, will talk. And then we have our lunch. And also Saturday morning, the Guide Dog Users Group gets together for their annual business meeting. And then at lunch, they do a program for people that are interested in guide dogs. They don't have to be members, but just interested. And then in the afternoon, we have our business meeting. Following that, we have our scholarship reception and then our banquet, which is preceded by an hour of people being able to bid on the silent auction. And then that closes, and then we have our banquet. And all day Friday is exhibits. So it's we anticipate about 25 vendors at our exhibit hall. We're always looking for people to come in exhibit. So if you know of somebody who has a blindness-related product or service, please encourage them to go to our website again, www.wcbinfo.org, and they can read the vendor letter up there, or our convention bulletin, and both of them lead you to the respective registration forms.
Okay, so ladies, it's now time for the conclusion, and I want to thank you for being on Face Your Future. And before we go, is there anything you want to add? And I also want to thank your driver, Tim. He's in the studio with us. He's in the house. So he's just a quiet guy today. I want to thank him for being here with you three. So is there anything you want to add before I let you go? And I will start with Danette Dixon.
Okay. Being on a committee, like this time I'm on the scholarship committee, it has really stretched me. I mean, I didn't think I could do it, but I did good. And I interviewed two people, and it was nice getting to know, first like reading the little bit about on their application, then I got to interview them. It was fun getting to know them and interview them.
Okay, Vice President.
Oh, that's me. So thank you so much for having us on. And I would just say, I always tell people that I grew up in this organization because I moved out here in 2001, right before my 21st birthday. And so a lot of the programs that and the activities, most of them were going on when I moved out here, but I've gotten the privilege to see a lot of them really evolve. And I feel like I've grown so much as a person and as a leader in this organization. And I certainly hope that if there is someone that is listening, please get in touch with us.
This is Ben Renko.
Yeah, I just want to say that if you are out there and you are losing your vision, you know of somebody that is, or you've been blind for a long time, connect with people. We're here to be an encouragement, and you don't have to do it alone. Whether it's going to school, raising a child, or thinking about going to get a guide dog, or had challenges with a job, whatever it might be, there's other people that have been there, done that, and are ready to help you and encourage you and maybe even provide you resources. So you don't have to be alone. We do lots of fun things too. We went to a baseball game this year. So we do fun things. We do serious things like fighting for legislation. And we're here for everyone in the state of Washington who is blind or visually impaired.
And ladies, thank you very much again for being on Face Your Future. That was Cindy Van Winkle, the president of Washington Council of the Blind, and Micah White, the second vice president of the same organization, and the Everett chapter president, Danette Dixon. I also want to take this opportunity to thank my co-producer, Sarah Charles, for her work. And to you, thank you very much for listening. As a reminder, you can listen to this show again by going to www.kser.org. And for new editions of Face Your Future, remember to tune in every third Monday of the month at 6 p.m. And if you want to send me an email, you can send me that email at wilson@kser.org. From Everett, Washington, I am Wilson Charles. Until then, take good care of yourself.
Sogno all'orizzonte, manca le parole. Io sì lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me. Mio sole, tu sei qui con me, con me, con me, con me. Sai.